Well, I'd like to thank very much the organizers for inviting me back home. We were here for 12 years. I was director for 5 years. And we have so many friends. And it's wonderful to see how UCSB has become one of the real world centers for science as well as other areas of research. I'd like to talk today about some remarkable physical effects. When we first did the work on superconductivity, I thought it would be limited to metallic superconductors, then it got extended to nuclei and to neutron stars and then to the quark condensate, and it kept expanding out. And what I'd like to tell you today is that there's a totally new class of materials with TC in excess of 10,000 degrees, and these can be made in the laboratory. In fact, they have been made already. And it's a very, very exciting field. I've submitted a PRL, I guess yesterday, and there's already a physical review letter in press. Now, the properties of a wide variety of intermetallic compounds exhibit magnetic localized spins and superconducting fluctuations near a critical point. They show highly anomalous critical indices, that is very, very small, and the law of corresponding states is observed in these materials, and a theory is presented which gives a fully quantitative, and by quantitative I don't mean 50%, but I mean at the 5 or 1% level explanation of these laws. The direction of the instantaneous staggered spin direction, that is M0 times the cosine of Q, where Q is the localized spin array wave vector. And many of these properties are worked out on the basis of this theory, and I'll talk about that today. Technological promise of these substances is truly immense, including generation, storage, and transmission of electrical energy, MRI magnets, industrial magnets, maglev, etc., etc. Now, the critical indices corresponding to spin susceptibility in a large number of ferromagnetic and antiferromagnetic intermetallic compounds and a specific heat, as well as many other quantities, exhibit truly strange critical indices that are really highly anomalous, that is very, very small. For example, it's found near the QCP that chi of Q, where Q is the nesting wave vector, zero frequency and temperature is proportional 1 over T to the gamma, where gamma is 0.14, and the specific heat goes like log of T over a wide range of T around the critical point. Thus, a form of law of corresponding states holds. Now, we present a theory which explains this anomalous behavior in quantitative detail. However, it's shown, it is well known, that chi is proportional to 1 over T minus Tn, that is a Nail law, and the specific heat in mean field is proportional to T, that is the Landau result. Now, Hertz, in his pioneering studies of the QCP and ferromagnetic materials, used a fermion functional integral action, which was worked out to fourth order in the spin fluctuation field, that is the one fermion loop, and found highly anomalous critical indices near the QCP, but he didn't really look at the spin susceptibility and the specific heat. Later studies, Millis confirmed Hertz's results in a calculation at higher loop level. Further studies, excluding the present, have shed very little additional light on these remarkable phenomena. For clarity, we use the well-known spin fermion model, which is the hopping from site I to J without spin flip, and then the conventional Kondo coupling of the spin density dotted into the instantaneous local spin, and these satisfy the usual Fermi and Bose commutation relations, with alpha, beta, gamma being related cyclically. Now, we've explored these anomalous phenomena in the Hubbard model and find nearly identical results, and the analysis, however, is far more complex. In addition, we've done a diagrammatic summation, infinite order in a very complex class of diagrams, and found results very similar to what we've will talk about here. Now, the character to carry through the analysis, we exploit the slow spatial and temporal variation of the critical degrees of freedom near the QCP. We make a WKB-like adiabatic unitary transformation, which rotates the electron spin axis Z into the direction of the local instantaneous staggered magnetization Q, cosine Q times S of T. And we obtain rapid convergence of all quantities near the QCP, such as chi and CV. We find excellent agreement with the observable quantities with experiment. Preliminary discussion of this was published in 1996 in the Journal of Low Temperature Physics by myself, and a more recent account is being published in the Physical Review Letters. Here we review this theory and apply it to many experimental observables. for those of you who might be taking notes, the important points are labeled by a circle N where N goes from 1 to infinity here. I hope that I'll be chopped off at a finite point. Suppose we define the unitary spin rotation operator as e to the I, the generator of a spin rotation for the fermions about the instantaneous direction of the staggered magnetization. Here omega is a vector electron spin rotation angle defined by the sine inverse of z cross the staggered magnetization, z cross m over z cross m absolute. Making this transformation, we find the sum of four terms. H0 is the standard hopping, but it's in a rotated spin basis set. And HSDP is a spin deformation potential, which is the hopping modulated by the spin current dotted into the gradient of the rotation angle. This is very similar to the electron phonon deformation potential coupling, where Ri minus Rj dotted into U times epsilon is the local lattice dilatation, and G is the electron phonon deformation potential, which is typically of order 1 to 4 volts. In addition, there's a diamagnetic-like coupling, T times the electron density times omega, and this is similar to the A squared term in quantum electrodynamics, not QCD, QED. For electron, this can be written as the kinetic energy, the spin deformation potential, and the diamagnetic term, and then the exchange energy in this rotated basis. Notice that this term is now a Zeeman-like term in that it doesn't involve the transverse fluctuations. All the fluctuations occur up here. Or compactly, H can be written as in the form of a standard gauge theory, where the gauge potential is the spin dotted into the gradient of the rotation angle. Now, we want to discuss this point. Well, the discussion to this point is exact. It's useful to make the pairing correlations explicit by introducing the Gorkov two-component spinner, defined by psi here. And we introduce, as Gorkov did, the four Pauli pseudo-spin matrices. Straightforward to see the electron couples to charge and spin through the vertices tau 3 and tau 0. All of our calculations are manifestly gauge invariant as opposed to the original BCS calculations, which were gauge invariant, but they were not manifestly so. Now, like in BCS, TC is determined by the linearized gap equation, and the first remarkable fact is that HSDP leads to P-wave rather than to D-wave coupling, and that's because it's proportional to the gradient of the staggered order parameter, which is a vector. And that's for ferromagnetic coupling, and we get TC of order 1,000 degrees. The Dia and HJ lead to D wave, that is L equals 2 and S equals 0 coupling, and S wave, L equals 0, as in the work of Scalpino and Pines, where HPA plays the role of a weak electron phonon coupling. As we'll see below, TC is highest for this P wave pairing, and it should be readily observable in electron tunneling, ARPAS, CV, chi, neutron scattering, Raman, IR, lambda, etc., etc. There are many measurements which show highly anomalous properties near the QCP. The Gorkhoff one-electron self-energy is given by the one-loop level, and is given by V, where V is the potential coming from HSDP, HDIA, and HJ, with omegas given by the Matsubara frequencies. The gap equation for the complex pairing order parameter delta is given by the usual expression 1 over Z times V times G, where the normal state renormalization function is given by usual VG, and the renormalized kinetic energy is given by epsilon plus chi bar, where chi is a half V times G. Now, the super high TC is for P wave, that is given by a square potential, where omega S, the spin fluctuation frequency, is J squared over W, and the coupling constant lambda for L equals 1 is given by W squared over J squared. Maximizing TC for fixed W, we find the usual expression, 1.14 J squared over W, e to the minus 1 plus lambda over lambda, with lambda 1 maximum is J squared over W squared over J squared equals 1, that is W is equal to J. For W of 10 volts, TC maximum is given by 11,000 degrees. Plotting log of TC over W versus J over W, we find TC remains relatively stable for 0.5 less than J over W less than 5. This gives an advantage that TC is highly insensitive to impurity concentration fluctuations, a fact that's great importance in technology as well as scientific applications. For J over W, you go into this Kondo compensator regime. Now, the grand potential is given by the usual partition function, the log of that, where mu is the electrochemical potential, and the specific heat is given by the derivative of lambda. Within the RPA, we get minus a half, the trace of V times phi, 1 minus a half the V phi, and the zeroth order polarizability is given by minus 2, where the factor 2 arises from the spin susceptibility. Abardian showed that the Gaver differential conductance is given by DIDV is proportional to MG, and this should show P wave, L equals 1, S equals a half, pseudo gap behavior. The ARPAS differential cross section is given by D sigma, DK, D omega, MG, and should demonstrate P wave, L equals 1, S equals 1, pseudo gap behavior, as well as the London penetration depth. Now, in superfluids such as helium-3A, there are six-legged collective modes, and in superfluid A, these are degenerate. However, due to the exchange coupling, S psi dagger sigma psi, these modes are split due to this coupling. The spin orbital interaction is given by the usual form, lambda times the angular momentum dotted into the Pauli matrix. Typically, lambda is between 2/10 and 2 volts. Now, from rotational invariance of both spin and orbit, the transformed Hamiltonian can be rewritten as HSO is lambda over 2 times an integral over space of psi dagger psi times this factor JJ plus 1 minus LL plus 1 minus SS plus 1, where L is 1 through infinity units of integers, S is plus or minus a half, and J as usual is plus or minus L plus or minus S, that is L plus or minus a half. And in this case, we find the simple expression for this spin orbit interaction. Now, we define the collective mode state psi as N times H times psi zero, and the energies of the collective modes are diagonal in this basis, and we see that E is given by lambda H bar cubed over 2 times J over 2 M, where M is the staggered magnetization, times S, where S can be plus or minus a half or minus that quantity, and plus M bar S or minus lambda S cubed. The observation of these modes in the near IR will give added proof that the P wave pairing is the correct thing. Now, magnetic moment scattering, magnetic spin scattering, and neutron scattering are given by the dynamic spin susceptibility, and these results agree very well with the observed neutron spectra. Acoustic attenuation is given in the usual way in terms of M trace of tau 3G, the alpha should be power law and T corresponding to the pseudogap behavior. And our relaxation for the P wave pairing is given by the usual expression, and this should also show L equals 1 pairing. And the complex dynamic conductivity is given by this. Now, we've given an account here of the observable properties. These materials are predicted to exhibit enormously high anomalous behavior, in that the critical indices are highly anomalous, being small, near the QCP. The property should show power law T dependence at low T reflecting P wave L equals 1, S equals 1 pairing, with a tremendously high, greater than 1,000 degrees, up to 10,000 degrees, and the six-legged mode should be seen in the IR. The potential for SHTS to electric power generation, storage, transmission, etc., should be tremendous, since these materials involve coupling between the pairing and magnetic spin fluctuations. Highly nonlinear electrodynamics should be observable with applications in communication, computers, etc. I would like to take the opportunity to thank several of my colleagues, Megan Aronson, Nick Bonesteel, Lev Gorkov, and Kun Yang, for interesting discussions. Also like to thank the NSF and the Department of Energy for their support. And we have three figures. The first is the Gorkov self-energy we've talked about. The second is the Scalapino Pines spin fluctuation regime. Then there's this very high temperature SHTS regime, and finally the Kondo regime. Then we have the RPA for the gauge potential. Thanks very much for your attention, and I appreciate any questions you might have.
Thank you. So what are the materials that this might apply to? And especially, right. I'm interested in what you remarked on, that these are now available in lab.
Right. Yeah. They're a very broad class of intermetallic compounds, which have the nice feature that they're very soft. You can clad them in iron or clad them in aluminum and swage them, that is, pull through a die and make any diameter you want. One interesting class, which has already been looked at, is the so-called Heusler alloys. Typical example being gold 2, manganese 0.7, aluminum 0.3. Manganese 1.7, aluminum 0.3. And there are many, many other ones that also will work.
So as I understand, you use anti-ferromagnetic fluctuations to get triplet superconductivity. And I guess I'm more used to anti-ferromagnetic fluctuations given D-wave superconductivity,
right,
and ferromagnetic fluctuation,
right,
given P-wave.
Right. So yeah, the ferromagnetic give P-wave because of the Pauli principle. And the anti-ferromagnetic TC is exponentially smaller than the ferromagnetic one. And the physical source of all this, if you take all the mathematics and throw it away, is that as the staggered order parameter fluctuates very slowly in space on the scale of, say, 100 lattice spacings, the so-called Degen factor, cosine theta over 2, where theta now is the angle not to the z-axis but to the next spin, that gives a modulation of the bandwidth. And if it were only one site, you'd get a very small modulation. But because it's 100 sites, you get 100 times as small, and it's a very big one, of order half the bandwidth. And if you have two excitations, and they each are attracted by a potential half the bandwidth, you can imagine you get an enormous binding. And that's what's holding them together.
I didn't fully understand why it's triplet P wave rather than D wave, say.
Pauli. You have to be anti-symmetric with regard to interchange of space and spin. And if the spins are parallel, the space must be anti-symmetric or equals one.
I didn't quite follow your answer to the first question by Marcel Franz. Are you saying that Heusler alloys are very high temperature superconductors?
Could you say it again, please?
I did not quite understand your answer to the first question.
Yes.
I understood it to mean that you are saying Heusler alloys, which are very well-known metallic alloys, are very high temperature superconductors?
Yes, absolutely. And it's been observed. It's been observed already.
By whom it's some...
Well, it's been observed.
Okay.
And the paper is being written.
Oh, okay, okay. So this is something that's coming out. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if there aren't any other questions, I just have a comment, which is that as organizers of the conference, it's really a pleasure and an honor to have you here back at the ITP, where you've had such an impact over the years. And also, I just want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to hear you and give us some food for thought.
Good. Thank you.